And welcome to another edition of the E-Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development here in good old Frankfort, Indiana. Clinton County is the county, and we're so glad to have you on this edition of the E-Factor. Don't forget the E-Factor, what it represents. It's the E-Tributes of a community, the engagement, encouragement, entertainment, education, elected officials, you name it. It really is all about the E's here in a community, and we celebrate that each and every week here on the E Factor. So today, it's an interesting program because we're going to be talking about a very important E in our community, especially in this day and age, and that is employment, and in particularly employees. We need them. We need you. If you're listening to me, if you can fog a mirror, can you breathe, then you can probably get a job right now in this unemployment culture that we have, or unemployed in culture that we have. We have a lot of jobs, but we don't have enough folks to fill those jobs. So our unemployment rate went down to 2.7% back in August. We are now seeing the September numbers, and we're up just over 3%, just below the state average of 3.5%. So Clinton County is still very much in I would consider a crisis when it comes to getting people to come to work. So if you can pass a drug test, if you can more than likely handle a few things as far as aptitude is concerned and take care of some of those things that we may be requested of you, then more than likely you could get a good paying job right here in Frankfort, Indiana, and in Clinton County, Indiana. So something to be thinking about. And really, to tackle this issue, we have brought in an expert on employment. She works with ASG Staffing Incorporated. She is the Vice President of Operations and Sales for Indiana, and I am speaking with Ms. Beth Dunlap. And Beth is joining us now. Beth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Beth, I painted a pretty bleak picture at the beginning of this program about unemployment, really the unemployment rate. It's not we have unemployment issues as much as we have employment issues. How bad is it?
Right. It is very bad. It's very difficult to find the right talent for organizations. We're at all times lows since 1969. So, you know, client requirements have changed. I think a lot of what I do is work with clients to present to them what's actually out there as far as employees and what type of things we need to be looking for so we can put employees into jobs.
Okay, so, well, first of all, let's go back up a little bit and tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me how you got involved in staffing. And, you know, really when I think about a staffing company, I really kind of think about a robust human resource department that you basically handle for multiple companies.
Sure. Absolutely. That's what we are. We just are basically another part of an HR manager's role and just an extension of a company's organization. So I started in staffing when I was 22 years old.
Wow.
I had worked for a global staffing firm for many years. I started in a one-week assignment. And 23 years later, I was running four markets.
My goodness.
And so, yeah. So I started in at the bottom level in staffing just as a file clerk, even before they had computers. So I've seen a lot of changes in the industry.
So what have been some of the biggest changes that you've seen in the industry? Technology has certainly probably changed a lot of the dynamics of this industry. But what are some of the most glaring changes?
I would say, you know, technology, but the biggest change is we've gone from a culture where we had a list of applicants walking in our door, higher unemployment levels, to where we didn't have jobs. Hmm. So you had to be very, very flexible over the years to, you know, take those ups and downs and be able to, you know, keep your business moving as far as having enough clients and also having enough job applicants coming in.
Well, because we've gone from double-digit unemployment rates back in the turn of around 2008, 2009 into that recessionary period to now some of the most historic lows that I can remember.
Right. So when I started in staffing in the 90s, we had a lot of associates looking for work. We didn't have jobs. So then, you know, we were always looking to help employees find jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, fortunately, that changed to where we had more jobs and less employees. Then when everything happened in 2008, 2009, we had that change again. Now we're back to where we have less associates and more jobs. So now we have to find innovative ways to try to capture our employees, whether it's we're offering incentive programs, you know, different things that are important to the associates wanting to find work.
Yeah. And when you think about jobs, let's talk a little bit about the sector. Do you deal mostly in manufacturing, industrial jobs, or are you kind of all over the board? Do you do a lot of even other type of jobs?
Yeah, we do 95% industrial jobs with the organization I'm with now at ASG Staffing. However, we have an azimuth division where they solely focus on white collar positions, more skilled trades, and then all of our direct hire positions, like if you needed an HR manager, a plant manager, more of the technical positions.
Okay, so you've been in this business a long time.
Yes.
You don't look that old, so you can't be that. It can't be that long time. But you've said something around 22 years or so, and now you're with ASG. So what does ASG stand for?
ASG Staffing, actually Advanced Staffing. The owner, the president, Chuck Purcelli, started a firm that was direct hire only in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So him and one of his business partners decided to go into the contingent workforce. So they started ASG Staffing. They used some of the information from their previous firm. There's no real verbiage behind ASG Staffing and what it means.
No secret code.
No secret code. It was just something that the Chicagoland area had known of Chuck Purcelli and his way to build business. So they started in the 90s, a privately held firm, a husband and wife, and another business partner. And we have been successfully putting people to work in Chicagoland for 25 years.
So, and now you have gravitated further south into Indiana.
Yes.
You have branched out from the Chicagoland area to Indiana, and you have decided to target Frankfort, Clinton County, and this whole region.
Yes.
Why this region? What was it attracting you to this region?
So, as I mentioned, I work for a global staffing agency, and in 2016 they took their local branch out of this area. My COO Tom Terrigliato was actually one of my he was actually my mentor and my boss, and he left to go with our organization 10 years ago. We've always stayed in contact. He actually did manage the Frankfort area. And so him and I kind of spoke over the last year and a half or so, and we thought a lot about Frankfort. We thought a lot about our ability to build deep roots in the community. That was really the reason why we started, not in a larger town. You know, I'm a small town girl. I come from an area of 5,000. So we decided to start our business here in Frankfort and move north. And we plan to have 3 to 5 branches over the next 5 years.
Fantastic. So you're looking at growth.
Yes.
And really think about the employer need right now in manufacturing, just that sector alone, manufacturing and industry. We need all the help we can get.
Yes.
It's a serious situation. I don't think people sometimes realize, because I know they hear my voice and I'll be on the radio. You know, we're on a different radio program once a month, and we talk about jobs, and people say, well, yeah, I tried to get online, or I went to the, well, first of all, going to knocking on the doors anymore, that doesn't happen, does it? I mean, it's hard to get into a company. Pretty much everything is online now, or working through a program like yourself.
Right. And, you know, I hear that a lot from our job applicants that are out there looking. You know, they've gone to there's nothing scarier than looking for a job. You know, you can be down on your luck. And that's what I love about this
industry.
Especially
if you don't have a job.
If you don't have a job. That's what I love about this industry, is putting people to work and, you know, making a difference in their lives. And there's nothing harder than to walk into someone's office and look for a job, or go into a now hiring place and somebody might not be at the front desk. So you add that piece, and then you add the technology piece, where you have people that are 40, 50, 60s still needing employment, but don't necessarily know how to do their online application. So that's kind of where we come in. We try to make that process, you know, very streamlined and kind of help them through it and just get their foot in the door.
Yeah, I've talked to many of the HR folks in our industrial park in Frankfort, Indiana, and I have, because I have shared some of those same concerns that people have shared with me that, well, I went online, I got booted out, I don't know what I did. And I would talk to them and said, yeah, they probably did this or they probably did not do that. And if that's the case, it gets booted out because it's all automated, it's all automatic, and then there's criteria that they judge. And you say, boy, that's so different than when, you know, you and I were looking for jobs back in the day where we set up an interview and we came and we had eye-to-eye contact and people got to read our body language, they got to see how we dressed and things. Putting that information in a computer and then getting information back as an HR person, that's a pretty tricky road to navigate.
Right, it is. It is. And technology, you know, can take that piece of technology where it's supposed to be streamlined and efficient. Sometimes the folks just get lost in the system, or maybe the information doesn't get to the HR manager, or they don't hear back. So that kind of, you know, it can be tough on an individual to get through an app for an online application.
So you, one of your job requirements, or not necessarily requirements, maybe one of the job interests that you have is to certainly build those relationships with the company through the HR department or senior management or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. It could be a mom and pop. They may not have an HR. They may be the HR. They may be the plant manager. They may be the coffee maker and everything else. So if they were, what would it look like? How from an employer, let's use the other E, from an employer perspective, how does that work working with you? So what is the protocol that they would go through?
Right.
So they say they're listening to us today and they said, wow, I need Beth to help me.
Right.
And we're going to give you Beth's number and all that information a little bit later. But they call Beth. What is going to happen in the next steps an employer?
Sure. So just a perfect scenario today, speaking with a local organization here in town, they asked me what our requirements were. And I said, you know, I don't really have any requirements. I want to come out and meet you face-to-face, take a tour of your facility, look and see what the jobs entail to know what type of workforce I need to put in your facility. You know, we have to be we usually take a walkthrough. We sit down with the local leadership, ask them questions about what they're looking for, what's a good fit to their organization, what are their challenges. If they're using other staffing firms, which happens a lot in the industry nowadays, Shan, we ask them their likes, we ask them their dislikes. We're not in competition. We're just here.
You're looking for the culture.
We're trying to find a cultural match. What you like, what you dislike. You know, some people don't like phone calls. Some people don't like emails. So we really have to find a match within our relationship with the employer and the employee.
Well, and that makes perfect sense, because at the end of the day, you're looking for sustainability.
Right.
They're looking for long-time employment.
Right.
The issue that we see to have on a local level when it comes to manufacturing, if they hire off the street and they come in, they come into orientation, sometimes they don't stay through the entire orientation.
Right.
Sometimes they don't even show up for the first day because so you guys kind of help set the stage, because you've already walked through the plant, you've met the HR people, you know what they're expecting, so you're looking for that good match. So you're the matchmaker.
Yes. And something we do at ASG is we customize everything per client. So what that means is, if you have an attendance policy, your break procedures, your reporting procedures, anything that your full-time hire would have, we put that in a customized orientation, so everything is streamlined. Because we're not, you know, we will always have businesses that only need contingent help.
Mm-hmm.
But we are looking to also fill the temp to permanent business, just to be that buffer between. So that HR manager, her time is money, or his time is money, that we're doing all the things on the front end they need so they can transfer them into a full-time employee.
Yeah, and most of the time, most of the employers are looking for that.
Yes.
They want that person to become a full-time employer. employee. But, you know, there's also, it's also, to me, it would be a great opportunity to kind of filter those who may not work, that may not work out.
Right. You know, I've had, and it works on a candidate side, on an associate side. You know, it's kind of buy before you try. In a sense.
Yep.
Because even though I can go in there and I can tour the facility, I can even do on-site recruiting. We do a lot of targeted recruiting where we go to the client site. We interview them there. We'll do walkthroughs. But even though it's that targeted, sometimes it's just not a match after the first or second day.
Right.
And so it's kind of the try before you buy. It's kind of just to be able to see if, hey, this works for me and if it works for them.
The culture of I want to talk a little bit about the culture of manufacturing. You, you've been around it for a long time in your capacity. I think there has there's kind of a misunderstanding to a degree from even educators to parents to just the general public out on the street that may be working in other jobs, that manufacturing's dirty or industry is, you know, it's kind of like the sweatshop or it's a, you know, slave job, whatever the case. But that cannot be further from the truth. I mean, I was just touring a potential industry today that is looking at us at Frankfurt, and we're very excited about the opportunity. We went to visit their campus. I could have eaten off the floor. I mean, it was that clean. I mean, it was that, it was unbelievable. So, and I can walk out here in our industrial park and really tour about any place and find similar conditions. And I think the stigma of manufacturing can be also a hindrance to those that may be looking at a career change or possibly looking for that first-time job. Really, there's good money to be made and a great career in manufacturing.
Absolutely. I certainly agree. I have toured facilities that from metal forging that you would, you know, be completely filthy by the time you left there, even on a tour, to the same type of forging where you could, as you said, eat off the floor. It's that clean. So there's all types of different industries. One industry is not for every person. And that's what's nice about having the experience and the background that I have over the years. That's the best part of what I do, is to be able to tour the manufacturing facilities, is to be able to give the employee a good idea of what they'll be going through.
Employment, our employees make it makes the world go round. You have to have an employee. I remember one day I was with a former boss and we were talking about employment. Actually, we were talking about the lack of responsibility and accountability sometimes. And he was frustrated because we had a person that kind of let us down. And he made the comment that, boy, employees, they can be your biggest liability. And I was quick to reply as an employee that we could also be your biggest asset.
Absolutely.
And I think that there is that push me pull you, that really tug of war that goes on in an employer's mind. You're almost, in some cases you're almost a necessary evil, and in other cases it's you're a valued asset, team member. You've seen those kind of cultures. It's definitely the latter is what gets the most productive.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing the changes in the industry more to your point, where companies are seeing that they have to be more employee driven versus the opposite. You know, what makes an employee stay? What makes an employee leave? More than anything, losing an employee costs the company much more money to replace a good employee.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something that we're doing even in staffing now, is we're talking to our clients about what do you do differently in order to keep your employees working for you. So we're really becoming more,
that's a good question,
more associate driven,
and
really making sure we're taking care of our employees as well as our clients.
Well, you're looking for best practices.
Right.
And what's going to make a difference in that employee's life that's going to keep them at that job, because it's a win-win.
Right.
It's a win for everyone.
Right, absolutely.
And I think so often we lose sight of that. Again, that culture, and I totally agree with you, the culture, I believe, is changing. That dynamic of the old days of, I know I always think about manufacturing. I always think of the I Love Lucy show when she's on the chocolate line and she's trying to move chocolate, and chocolate keeps coming faster and faster. And she before the end of the program, she's stuffing chocolate in her mouth because she didn't want to lose any more chocolate. But, you know, that is just not the picture. That's just not the situation today. Manufacturing is so different. The culture is so different, and there is so many laws and so many different legalities that now are involved also in every industry, but in particularly manufacturing. Safety is a big issue.
Absolutely.
And that's something I'm sure you guys teach and talk about that with your associates.
Right, absolutely. And it's safety first. You know, that is the reason why we always go out and meet the client, tour the facility, you know, do all of those best practices, because we have to have safe employees, you know, more than anything. Safety is the biggest thing and can cost our clients even a lot of money.
When you're talking about costs, one of the things that we talk about with our manufacturing base many times is the cost of, you know, I don't think people realize when you hire someone, you've gone through the interview process, that costs money because it's time for the HR person or the interviewer. And then there, you get them to the next level of a hire. Then there's orientation, there's uniforms, there's training. And then all of that goes into that 2 or 3 or 4 week period. And then after that, they say, this is not for me. That is a bitter pill to swallow, my friend, when you are on that other end writing the check.
It is. And it absolutely is. And as a leader in a staffing industry, you know, clients are, and people may have a misconception, you know, I've worked with clients that had 300% turnover. Hmm. Honestly, Shannon, I can't afford to have 300% turnover in my business. So it was very much an education process for this client to know that we had to work with employees. We can't just let them go. We have to keep them safe. And, you know, just be really, really employee driven.
Well, we have an employer right now that has about 110% turnover rate with temporary staffing. Right. I mean, they struggle. I mean, it's been something that it just seems like they can't keep people in the pipeline. I don't know if it's the job sometimes is too difficult. And that's a question I'm going to ask you as we kind of shift from the employer to the employee. Before we, you know, I ask the same question of what is an employee going to expect when they call you, an associate, what are they going to expect when they call you, and take us through that. I'm going to ask you a question that could be maybe controversial for you, but may not be. And that is, what do you think about the culture today? And I mean, what, as far as an employee, as far as someone, because, you know, I coach football, I'm involved, we run youth programs, and we're involved, and it just seems like there is a little bit less, and maybe a whole lot less, of stick-to-itiveness, if there's a word for that. I know I use it all the time, but, you know, this resiliency, or willing to be able to follow through, or, finish the job. We have a tendency to be a little soft, it seems like now. And we get employers that will tell me, they've had people point out after, you know, 3 weeks. They point out because they don't feel good. They don't feel like going to work.
Absolutely. And it kind of is controversial. And, you know, people all have their thoughts about it. You know, I really believe that it starts with our school-aged children.
Yeah.
You know, it goes up to adulthood. Now in generations, you know, I've been in this for, you know, a couple generations, this type of business. And I see, you know, the second and third generations coming through. But, you know, I know here in Clinton County, we do a really good job at our high school level and, you know, teaching kids what to expect and just holding kids accountable, you know. And so those are some of the things, you know, that I think we've softened up in our in with employees. But, you know, it's nothing we're going to change overnight.
Nope.
And, you know, we're just going to have to all work together as employers to try to show employees what they need to do, help develop them, and build some of those soft skills.
Yeah.
Build some of those accountability skills. This is what we expect from you.
Yeah. Well, and the culture, Though it has softened some, I think you're exactly right. It didn't happen overnight, and it's going to it's not going to be overnight that it changes. One of the things that we have we've been talking to local leaders, and now it's a regional issue, not only the unemployment and workforce development, but resiliency and being able to strengthen that. And I appreciate what you said about our schools, because we have a program called Workforce Ethics Certification, WEC. It's a governor's. We have signed, all of our four schools are involved in it. It's called Engage Clinton County, and part of the E factor, but Engage Clinton County, where if you are a senior in high school and you have at least a 2.0 grade point average, and you have 6 hours of community service or 6 hours of school service, and you have a 98% attendance rate, that means you can only miss 3 days for the entire year.
Right.
You get an honor at the end of your senior year, and you become a selective, a preferred a candidate for a job. And all of our employment, our employers have said they love this idea, and it's happening throughout the state. But all four of our county schools have signed up for this. So we're really excited to see, this is our first year.
Absolutely.
So we're really excited to see how that works out. So I wanted you to be aware of that. Yes. And I think it's something that we, as we continue to work through this kind of hardening up a little bit of this culture that has kind of softened, that maybe this is the opportunity, these kind of programs will certainly help.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Walk us through, an associate comes in, they call you, Beth, help me, I want a job. What are you going
to
do?
Well, we like to, get to know the associate, ask them what they're looking for, what their short-term, what their long-term career goals are. We meet all of our candidates face-to-face, whether I'm at a job fair, whether I'm here in the office, whether, I'm at a client site. We do an interview. We do somewhat of a behavioral interview, find out their likes, find out their dislikes. Then we do all of the compliance, all of their onboarding, their I-9, their E-verified. And then, like I mentioned at the end, we have a customized build-out for each client of what their job site looks like. Mm-hmm. So if I had A, B, C, D jobs, I would talk to the associate, and I would know, based on their interview and knowing that we know the culture of the company, what we think is a good fit for them. Mm-hmm. So we would offer them the position, talk about the hours, what is expected, talk to them, our new generation of employees, do you have any expected dates coming up, doctor's appointments, anything that prohibits you from going to work? Because everyone is so excited that they're going to potentially walk away with a job because they may have been down in their luck that, I forgot that appointment next week. So we work through all of these long-term things with them and what they're looking for.
Those are great questions, because they'll certainly make a difference and an impact when you've got employers chomping at the bit to get people in. They hate to go, 3 days, now you got to miss three.
Right.
Or two, or one, because of this. So that's a great point that you make, and making sure that those folks are expecting that, and they understand those expectations of them that we need to know. Mm-hmm. Those are important questions to ask. So so finally, all of this works out. You find the match, and then you go to the employer and say, hey, we've got one for you.
Yes.
And then they make that decision to hire.
Yes, they make the decision. Okay. Yep, they make the decision to hire. And, normally in now within the staffing industry and everyone's hiring and low unemployment, they could be using multiple firms. And so we always ensure that the associate's, going to meet the requirements. And then we place the associate. We do follow-up calls with the client. We do follow-up calls with the associate. Back to that employee engagement. It's keeping that associate engaged.
Yep.
First day calls, second day calls to make sure you're doing well. The thing that I like to do the most with our associates is send them a text message on Friday or a call, just telling them to have a great weekend.
Hmm.
Nobody, we fail to realize sometimes in your position, my position, Stan, just to smile at people, shake their hand, a text message, a phone call, hey, how'd your week go? Have a great weekend. Don't forget to refer someone to us.
That's right.
Just to put the human element and the people back in what we do.
Absolutely. My grandma used to tell me, kindness costs you nothing, but is worth everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
and so important in all of that. Beth Dunlap, she is with ASG Staffing, and you can go to asgstaffing.com, asgstaffing.com. When they go to the website, will they have information so they can get a hold of you?
Yes, and they'll see all of our offices listed.
And one of the offices is right here at the Iron Block in downtown Frankfort, 62 North Main Street. We're so happy to have you as an Iron Block member. We're so excited to partner with you and ASG in helping our employers right. find good employees right. and helping our employees find good jobs.
Right,
so
right.
That's what it's all about here in our community. Well, Beth, thank you so much for what you do. You're passionate about it, folks. If you give Beth a call, you're going to get kindness, a smile, and someone with great enthusiasm that wants you to get the best job possible and to get you back in the workforce, right?
Yes. All right. And I want to thank all of you for having us.
No problem. Thank you very much,
Beth.
Thank you. Beth Dunlap with ASG. She has been our guest today on the E Factor, talking employment, talking employers, talking engagement, all those things that make a community much better, raises the standard. And don't forget, you could raise the standard in someone else's life. You might be the hope. You might be the answer to someone else's prayer. You could be the empowerment or the encouragement in someone else's life. Go out and make it a great day. For the E Factor, I'm Shan Sheridan.